everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to The Kelly O Show. On today's episode, and please note, this is one of the legacy episodes from Fitfluential Radio. This is actually an interview I recorded with Dr. Manish Shah. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. I believe I am. About a year ago. And like I mentioned before on some of these other legacy episodes, long story short is in the midst of us changing our name from Fitfluential Radio to The Kelly O Show and changing podcast production companies, we had a couple, probably about a dozen episodes get lost in the shuffle. And we thought that they were uploaded and then we discovered them. It was like a gold mine. So this is one of those episodes, but this is a fantastic interview. And we're talking about skincare, and we're talking about not only over-the-counter skincare, you know, the type of skincare that you can buy, all price ranges, at a store, online, whatever, but then also elective cosmetic procedures. And for those of you that follow me, you know I'm a fan of elective cosmetic procedures like Botox, like peels, all of the advances that they've made in anti-aging technology. It's incredible. But there's also just a whole lot of crap out there in the media that I know can confuse so many women. And I am determined to have a lot of experts like Dr. Shah on the show who can cut through the crap, explain to you, you know, what to expect. Because here's what I want to do, ladies. I want you to, if you've never gotten work done of any kind, whether it's a facial, a peel, Botox, fillers, you know, whatever it is that you're thinking about considering, or even going so far as to have, you know, surgical procedure done, I want you to understand, you know, what you can expect from each of those, and also from the lower level things. You know, if you go and you get, what upsets me the most are when I see infomercials with celebrities endorsing topical skincare products that you can buy on a payment plan of, you know, three payments of $30, and they're suggesting you're going to get the same results you get with injections, you know, like Botox or fillers. And that's not cool. So I want you guys to be able to understand what you're going to get with each different level of these types of, whether it's a product or a service or a procedure, the price for each of those levels of experiences, and then also what to expect with results. You know, when you're at certain ages, you can start to plan. And I will say this, if you decide to go down the route of having some kind of work done, I have to tell you, I'm a fan. It is the coolest thing ever, what can be done without changing your look, without making you look like a freak, so that you can feel better about aging. You combine that with a healthy living lifestyle and nutrition and supplementation. Aging is a beautiful thing. So I know you're going to enjoy this episode. We went for about 42, 43 minutes. So I went ahead and told my production company to divide this into two episodes for easier consumption. So make sure you listen to both episodes. This is a two-part interview again with Dr. Manish Shah. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I am extremely excited to welcome Dr. Manish Shah, who is has a plastic surgery, I hope I'm saying this correctly, practice out in Denver, Colorado. And of course, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Dr. Manish, welcome to the show. Did I say that correctly, that
you're out in Denver? Yes, Kelly, you did. And thank you for having me on today.
I'm thrilled. And as I told you before we started recording, we are really starting to see quite a lot of increasing interest in all things plastic surgery, elective cosmetic procedures, everything in the fitness space. And I think it just makes sense. I shared with you, I got my first Botox last year and it changed me forever. I mean, it made me feel so good. I was, 48 at the time, and I was just starting to see a lot of issues with my skin, and I didn't even realize how bad it was making me feel. And just starting to get some work done, wow, it's addicting. I will warn everybody. But the more that we've seen women who are really taking care of their bodies, start to ask a lot of questions like, hey, now that I'm feeling good about my body, I want to pay attention to my skin. I want to pay attention to my hair and my nails and my hormone health and all of these other issues. Why not? Why not make it a complete package? So this is a topic that we are going to be covering quite extensively, and we're launching the Fitfluential Beauty Hub 2019. So everybody stay tuned. But today we're going to be diving in and talking about a topic that, of course, is also near and dear to me, and that is skincare, anti-aging products. And I'm going to share with you a quote that when Dr. Manish and I were going back and forth about what we'd talk about, this is what we said: anti-aging products and ingredients don't get creamed by false hope in a jar. Let's separate the skincare heroes from the zeros. And this is something those that have been following me know I've talked quite a lot about. I think there's a lot of BS in the skincare space, a lot of celebrity endorsements where they're not really, using the skincare, or they're claiming that, put a little moisturizer on and you're going to get the same results that you'd get when people like you and I know, come on, that's a cosmetic procedure. So I'm just going to let you start to take it away, because let's start educating our audience on anti-aging products and ingredients. What's the hype? What's going on there?
Well, it's interesting. In my practice, we're in Denver, so Denver is a little bit more of a natural part of the country than, let's say, the coasts are, like New York and LA. And a lot of my patients around here over the years have helped instruct me in more natural ways of living. And we're very athletic out here, as you can imagine. We're like the leanest state in the country. And so everybody focuses on athletics and their bodies. And what ends up happening in our high, dry environment with lots of sun exposures, faces age much quicker out here. So it becomes quite easy to see that you've done a great job taking care of your body. You're in top physical condition. You're a four-season sports person, etc. But man, your face is just showing it at a much earlier age. And so people start coming in their 20s asking about ways to kind of help. And I go, when you're young, you've got great genetics. You've got great genetics for aging at that point. Let's use your natural capabilities to hold off time, and let's just tweak it a little bit. And so, skincare is the most important thing you can do. And I've always said that if you do nothing else, just wear a sunblock on your face every single day. At minimum, use a 30 SPF sunblock, because that blocks somewhere like 97% of the, damaging ultraviolet rays. Here in Colorado, because we're literally a mile closer to the sun, I just recommend a 50 and above SPF. I use it every day. And if you saw my face, you'd think I was a lot younger than I am. Most people think I'm somewhere in my early 30s and I'm almost 50. Now, granted, my skin's a little darker. I'm South Asian. But if you don't protect yourself, all bets are off. And so first thing we always tell people to do is at least put a sunblock on. I mean, I can get, it's a lot easier to tell a woman, at least wear a sunblock. It's because a lot of women have sunblock in their makeup. The hard part is for the men. They're like, no, I don't like to do anything. I get the men to wear sunblock. It's the one thing I can guarantee they will do more than anything else, because I agree with you. There's plenty of hype in the skincare industry, but you need just a few simple things in your regimen. You can really stay youthful looking.
I have a question for you on that note, because SPF is something that has been somewhat hotly debated in the fitness space, and I'd just say in the beauty space. And this is what I've heard. So I'm going to be Joe Consumer here. I have bought SPF at the drugstore. I've bought SPF at Ulta. I bought SPF online with some what I consider to be, you know, higher end companies. I definitely, when I was posting years back and I was using some over the counter, you know, stuff that you could get at Walgreens, I won't mention any specific brands, but I was sharing, you know, oh, I'm doing sunscreen religiously. Now, full disclosure, I mean, if you look me up, I'm a girl that's been out in the sun and a strong fan of laying out. Let me be real. I've gone tanning my whole life. I've been told what a bad girl I was my whole life. So I fully admit it. And when people told me to wear sunscreen, I'm like, oh my God. But then I started doing it and I was using these drugstore brands and everybody would send me these private messages on Facebook and Instagram. And they would say the ingredients in those, you know, and they would send me links to these specific brands. They'd say, ingredients in the SPF or those sun blocks that you're using are far worse than actually what the sun can do. And so people start, and we've had a lot of folks write into FitFluential going, well, I know I should be using SPF, but I've heard that actually the ingredients in SPF are worse for my skin than the sun. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I wouldn't say that there is necessarily truth to that. I think what we've learned in the science for sunblock is there's two basic types of sunblock. The sunblock you find out very easily attainable in, you know, your grocery store aisles and that sort of thing. Those are lower end sunblocks, and they tend to have what they call chemical blockade in them. So what they're doing is they're trying to chemically neutralize UV radiation at the skin. The problem is, as soon as you put them on the skin, they start breaking down and their actual protective capabilities go away very quickly. That's why you see the instructions, reapply every 20 minutes, reapply every hour, whatever it is. If you go to a dermatologist's office and you talk to somebody who is a skin cancer expert, they'll tell you those aren't the sunblocks you want to get. You want to get the second category of sunblocks. You want to get a category of sunblocks that has what are called physical blocking agents. Now, you remember when we were younger, the lifeguards would have that white zinc oxide on their nose.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a pure 100% optical blocking of UV radiation. And that is actually a physical blockade. It's a barrier membrane that doesn't let UV radiation penetrate. Because it's a physical blockade, it doesn't break down. It's not really anything to break down. I mean, you can sweat it off, you can swim it off, you can wipe it off accidentally, but it's much safer for you because it actually does what it's supposed to do. Because I guarantee most people with these, you know, these blocks are going to spray on the physical block. Sorry, they're going to spray on the chemical block and they're going to fall asleep on the beach and they're going to wonder why they burned. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because literally the block lasted for 20 minutes. And if they were going to take a 20 minute cat nap, they'd probably be safe because they'd then reapply. If you wear a physical block, you're much more likely to get actually what you're supposed to get, which is true physical protection. And that's why, you know, the people that were the lifeguards knew this a long time ago. And they use that block very successfully. So I would say if you're going to get a block, get a physical block.
Okay. So would you say, because I'm thinking of those lifeguards and I'm thinking, you know, most like women, you're walking around, you're going to the office. And I would think that like, I wouldn't want to put a physical block like that on. Are there higher end sunblocks that you can wear with makeup? And how do you address, because you brought this up earlier, and this is, most of our audience is women here. So if there are women who are buying a foundation and it says, oh, it's got, you know, 12 SPF or 30 SPF in it, is that okay? Is that functional? And secondly, back to what we said before, aside from using a physical blocker on a day-to-day basis, are there higher end products that are just as good to do an SPF 30 on a day-to-day basis?
Absolutely. So let's kind of split this up. For the women that are going to be using something to protect their skin on a day-to-day basis, a 30 SPF in your makeup is perfectly fine because you're going to more than likely be going from your home to your car to your place of work, and you're not getting a lot of significant UV radiation. I tell those folks that if you really are going to be out at the beach with your kids, or you're going to be at the pool, or you're going to be out skiing and getting that reflective snow burn, or you're just going out for a run in the middle of the day, then you want to wear more of an active sunblock. But most good sunblocks come in a clear variant that when you put it on your face, you can't see it. Right. And it has physical blockade agents in it. So modern zinc oxides don't have to be as thick as the old white goo hoop you'd put on your nose as the lifeguard, they are now undetectable and you can easily wear them under makeup.
Okay, got it.
For the higher end products, there are some really good sunblocks out there. You know, there's the one I like to let my patients get. We can sell it in the office, but there are places that you can get it online. I really like, there's a company called Skin Medica, and they make a really nice sunblock called TDR, Total Defense and Repair, and it's a really neat concept. It blocks UVA and UVB 100%. It also blocks the infrared radiation that comes off of our large, you know, computer screens and televisions and cell phones, because there is more data coming out that infrared radiation is actually aging us in many ways silently that no one knows about. So this TDR blocks for that. It also has some antioxidants to kind of give you antioxidative stress protection to the surface of the skin. So it's a neat product. You don't need to put very much of it on. It is a physical blockade. And I think, you know, Skin Medica sells it for somewhere between $60 and $70. Very reasonable for what you're getting for your money.
Okay. Before I move in to, because we're going to talk about, you know, these anti-aging products, and I have lots of opinions and lots of questions, and I was very excited to record this. But, you know, you mentioned that that was one of your first or your top tips for folks that you work with or that are thinking of coming to you is use sunblock every day. Do you have like one or two more top tips that you would give to everybody that's listening on the show? We might be getting ahead of, usually we ask for tips at the end of the show, but you started it, so I'm going to ask.
Well, you know, I will tell you that probably one of the skin products that I have loved for myself more than anything, and it can be something you can use in somebody who has got dry skin up to oily skin. I love topical vitamin C creams or serums. Vitamin C is ascorbic acid. It's a very low intensity, mild fruit-based acid. So what it does is it's topically micro exfoliating you every day. And if you, you know, use that at nights or twice a day, you're going to notice that there's a beautiful bioluminescence to the skin. The skin has a much cleaner, shinier patina. And as a, you know, I'm a male, that means I have an oily face. Mm-hmm. I don't tend to oil very much with it, which is very counterintuitive, but my top choice, especially for people with sensitive skin, is definitely using a topical vitamin C product. And I like, we in our office, we have a topical vitamin C mixed with a vitamin E. So you get both exfoliation and you get, you know, vitamin E is a very good antioxidant. So okay, we use that for protection.
Oh, I like it. I actually, you know, and I'm glad that we're covering this because I do think, again, I'm speaking as a consumer, what can be frustrating, and I know we've heard this from a lot of women, is there's so many choices. I think a lot of women just get, I don't even know what to pick. How many of these products do I need? You know, you can go for one company and they can have all of these serums, and you just kind of get stage fright with how do you choose? And I do think that that is something we can do better. And I certainly hope to do that on the show, which is break down what products do the best, what's a good foundation, and then what are options that you can build on with that. I do remember trying a vitamin C product years ago, and it was a serum, and I really liked how it made me feel. Until talking to you today, it was one of those things where I'm like, well, that was cool, but I don't know what it does. And it was, I didn't buy it again. So I'm going to look into that. Do you have a tip number three before we move into some of these anti-aging?
Honestly, one of the best bang for bucks for anybody, if they can tolerate a little bit of the irritability, is Retin A or a variant of Retin A like a retinol. Retin A, retinol, they're all vitamin A derivatives. And what they do is they basically tell the skin's turnover speed to jack up a little bit. You know, as we're, let's say you're 30 years old, your skin cells probably turn over their collagen, turn over the skin cell health, maybe every 28 to 30 days. Now, as you get older, you get perimenopausal, postmenopausal, you get in your 70s, you know, your skin cell turnover speed really slows down. What's cool about Retin-A is as long as you're using it, you speed yourself back up to a younger skin cell turnover. And what it does is two things. It sheds off the junky, discolored outer layer to a thin layer. That's called the epidermis. And the ever-thinning, aging dermis, which is actually the most important layer of the skin, it actually starts plumping up to dimensions that are more like a younger face. Now, it only works as long as you use it. It tends to make the skin a little pink. It tends to give you a little bit of micro flaking. You definitely need a good moisturizer with it, but it's a 1-2 punch. There's this really cool concept called HART, H-A-R-T. That stands for hydroxyacid retinol therapy. And it's a little thing that we do in the office where basically Monday, Wednesday, Friday night, my patients will use a little dollop of Retin-A on their face and neck. Don't forget the neck, everybody. Like, it's the redheaded stepchild of the face, but you got to treat your neck. Then on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, they use a vitamin C or a fruit acid, alpha hydroxy, beta hydroxy type acids that you can get in the store if you don't want to get medical grade. You can get some good consumer grade products, but it's less the product than the consistency of use. And it's the most important educational point I have for my own patients is, please do something that is affordable, but then do it consistently. That's the only way you're ever going to get results. And because skin takes nearly 6 months to really show its new collagen growth, The biggest kind of taboo that I notice is that women will go and buy a product. They don't notice a change in a month, and they go buy a new product when that first product probably was good for them, but they didn't hold out and do it for 6 months. So in our normal ADD lifestyle, it's hard to remember, spend 6 months on your skincare product before you really, really decide it doesn't work for you.
I've been one of those people. Certainly when I was younger and I knew nothing. I didn't really start using a skincare regimen until I'm going to say 36. And I bought it was from a network marketing company. I bought a line, and for me that was the big step up from Oil of Olay that I would buy at the drugstore. And I remember buying Pond's cream because I read somebody say, "Oh, this is amazing." You know, and then you hear something bad about each one, so you kind of upgrade and so on. But it is interesting because before I started taking really care of my skin and getting a whole line of products back then, I would just go and buy whatever I saw in a magazine. And I would try it for probably a week. And then I'd throw it away and I'd buy something else, or I'd get a sample when I went to the department store and I would try that. And I would think, oh, nothing's working. So I just gave it up. And I love what you said, because it's just like fitness. You can't go on a diet and work out for a week and expect that that's going to be permanent. It's an ongoing thing. And I love as well, you made a great point. And ladies, I will tell you this. I had people tell me what he said, which is take care of your neck and your chest all my life, and I ignored it. And as somebody who has spent a lot of time out in the sun, those are the number one areas that I'm working with my local plastic surgeon, my Botox lady, on fixing, because that's where I see the sun damage is on my chest, certainly on my neck. And I'm thankful for all the things that I can do to address some of that. But it'll catch up with you. So I'm glad that you brought that point up. Number one, give your skincare time. And number two, don't just treat the face, treat the neck and the chest area as well. So really, really good points. And of course, we'll link up to everything that we've referenced here in the show, in the show notes. But let's dive in to some of the juicy topic, the anti-aging products and the claims that are out there. And then I also have at the end of the show a couple of trends that I see being talked about in, you know, the social media spaces when in regards to skincare. And I want to see what your opinions are about that.
Absolutely.
Because I think they're also tied into anti-aging. But one of the things that I have kind of bemoaned on social media is I see a lot of either celebrities who come out with a skincare line and, you know, you see them doing infomercials or they're on QVC. And as somebody who now understands, because I started getting work done last year, I understand what's possible. I understand why certain things are happening with my face, with my jawline. And I understand what skincare does. And of course, I'm not the expert, but I also understand what certain things have to be done that the skincare can address. And what bothers me the most is the bullshit I see with people coming out with their own skincare lines or suggesting that you can just buy a moisturizer and suddenly you can lift your skin. Like, and it's usually targeted, I think, to women maybe 35, 40 plus who are experiencing, you know, the signs of aging. And so they think, well, here's this jar and you're going to put it on your face and all of a sudden, you know, those smile lines are going to disappear. Your skin is going to lift and tighten. And I see it with companies like Revlon. I've seen it with, you know, when I see Cindy Crawford coming out with skincare and she's like, this is why I look the way I do. I certainly don't know what Cindy Crawford's had done, but I'm guessing she doesn't look the way that she does because of moisturizer.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. This marks the end of part one of this two-part interview with Dr. Manish Shah. Please make sure you tune into part two.